Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Sovoi. So what I want to do, it's obviously Elul as well, as we've been connecting things with Chodesh Elul. I want to share a vart on the Parsha, then a vart from the Baal Shem Tov, which is very much connected to the month of Elul, and then something on Rosh Hashanah. So in this week's Parsha, we have, of course, the mitzvah Bikurim. We have other mitzvahs. We have the Toichecha, the reprimand from Hashem, and many other ideas, but there's a pasuk which says, "V'holachto bidrochov," you shall walk in Hashem's ways. You shall walk in His ways. The Rambam, in Minyan Hamitzvos, meaning in the Sefer Hamitzvos, where he lists the 613 mitzvahs, he says this is one of the 613 mitzvahs, and he says it's lehidomois bo yisale, to emulate Hashem kifi hayecholus as much as possible. And the Rambam brings examples, and he says, just like Hashem is compassionate, you shall be passionate. Just like He's merciful, you should be merciful. Just like He's called pious, you should be pious, and so on. Now, we know that the number 613, we've talked about this many times, is a tradition that we have from the Medrash, from the Gemara, that are 630 mitzvahs. However, it's not quite clear how we categorize them and how we count them. And of course, many different people in the Rambam's times particularly wrote books to list and to work out how we come to the number 613. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos has an introduction called Shoroshim. He has a whole bunch of rules of how we define mitzvahs as one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that things which are tzivui koilo, which means like a general all-encompassing mitzvah, like chukoy sai tishmeru, you shall keep my mitzvahs, or kadoshim to you, you shall be holy. Even though, of course, these are instructions from the Torah, but they are not counted as one of the 630 mitzvahs because they are general mitzvahs. The question then becomes, v'holachto bidrochov, you shall walk in His ways, which Rambam says means to emulate Hashem as much as possible. That seems to be just referring to all the mitzvahs. So why isn't that a mitzvah koilel? Why isn't it a general mitzvah? And therefore the question, of course, is why did the Rambam list this as one of the 613 mitzvahs? So we have to say that in the word v'holachto bidrochov, there is a something specific, there is something like a chidush that we don't find with the regular mitzvahs, and it's a specific way that Hashem wants us to serve Him. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe in a talk explained the following, and he said, the word v'holachto is the key here. V'holachto means you shall walk. It should be in a way of halicha, which means that it is possible that a person should keep mitzvahs, but it doesn't necessarily bring him to grow as a person. It doesn't bring him to shift where he is, his reality, his world. He keeps the mitzvahs, but he remains in the same place. He might have some incremental growth, but it's not a shift experience. To completely go beyond where he was before spiritually and to become a completely different reality, to connect to a different reality. And therefore, when a person does a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is done in a way where, we'll talk about what this means in a second, but the mitzvah is done in a way that it actually allows the person and facilitates the person to grow beyond himself, that is in addition to keeping the mitzvah in a regular way, and that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, the holachto bidrochov. But what does this mean? So we know there's a pasuk, a famous pasuk in Zechariah, where he says, "V'nasati lecho mehalchim bein ha'omdim," walkers amongst those that stand. And we learn in many sources that those that stand, meaning those that stand in one place, are like other creations, or even malachim, even angels. Now, even though angels, we know, also experience aliyahs, they experience elevations, but it's all incremental and relative to where they were before. But it's still a form of being connected to where you were before. It's not a complete shift. The person who's a complete shift, even the neshama, we are taught, the neshama before it comes down to this body is also in the category of oimdim, stationary beings. However, when a neshama comes down to this body and has to struggle through life, keeping Torah mitzvahs, and has to really refine himself and push himself to give Torah mitzvahs, it is possible down here that a neshama in a body should become a mahalech, should become someone that really is able to shift from one level to another, a complete shift, a complete jump from the previous situation to this one, which really means, it means to keep mitzvahs in a way of beligvul, to keep mitzvahs in a way where we don't restrict ourselves by our apparent natural limitations. We understand that we have a neshama. We understand that the neshama is beligvul. It's connected to Hashem, who is infinite. And therefore we do mitzvahs in an infinite way. We have mesiris nefesh. We push ourselves. We do things that we think we can't do. We shift ourselves into a different reality, accomplishing and achieving things which are completely beligvul. They are completely infinite, because that is the power of a Jew. That's the power of a Yid. And a shama beguf, to be able to be v'holachta, to be able to really walk, grow, shift, complete, elevate himself to a different level through the keeping of Torah mitzvahs. Now, we understand that we're still people. We are still people. We are limited people. We are creations. And yet at the same time, we are taught to be beligvul, but still to remain people. So this is the idea that he brings over there, that it's called nimna hanimnois. We know that just because we are connected to Hashem, therefore we are able to combine opposites and do the impossible. We remain people, and we're supposed to remain people within this world, working within the natural means, working within the natural routine, and yet be bligvul, yet be infinite at the same time. There is a possibility. That's the power of a Jew, to hold two opposites at the same time. And therefore, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah, v'holachto bidrocha. Now, the Shabbos is Chai Elul, the 18th day of Elul. It is the birthday of both the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. So I just want to share on this week's parsha a Torah, a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov. The Torah begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim, and it says, excuse me, V'hoyok yisove ola Eretz. It will come to be. You will come to the land of Eretz Yisrael, of course, it's referring to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Asher Hashem Eloikecha noisen lecha nachala. Hashem, your God, is giving to you, v'yirishta, and you will inherit it, v'yashavta bo, and you will settle in it. Says the Baal Shem Tov in a deeper interpretation of this pasuk. When a person is inspired, he comes to Eretz. V'hoyok yisove ela Eretz. You come to the Eretz. You come to the land. What does that mean, the land? Eretz comes to the word rotzoim, to desire. If a person arrives at a space where he's inspired, and therefore he's arrived at the level of Ratzon, and he wants to serve Hashem, he wants to follow Hashem, that's his desire, that's his aspiration. Sometimes that's a gift from Hashem. It comes milamailo, it comes from above. Hashem instills in us that gift of wanting to serve Him, that gift of inspiration, that gift of Oretz. We come to the Oretz, Asher Hashem aleikecha noiserlach, that Hashem is giving it to you. Says the Baal Shem Tov, what should we do? V'yorashto, we have to inherit that land. Yashavta, but we have to make it part of who we are. We have to settle it. Otherwise, it'll dissipate. We have to make sure that it's us, that it becomes who we are. Put in the work, invest the effort to make sure that we are becoming that identity. It's becoming who we are. That's the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. In other places, it adds to it and it says, what do? You take the fruit, v'samto batenu, you have to put it in. You have to put it into the basket. It uses an unusual expression for basket. And the Svarim say that, this comes from the Zritcha Magid as well, that tenor comes, is a Rosh Tevis, it's an acronym for timim nekudos oisius. The notes of the way we read the Torah, the vowels and the letters. In other words, we put ourselves in the Torah, we learn Torah, we internalize Hashem's knowledge, and that rotzah and that desire becomes who we are. We have to make sure that it becomes our identity. And of course, that is connected to the whole idea of Elul. Because Elul, we know the whole emphasis is ani ledoidi. It's not about Hashem schlepping us out. It's not about Hashem inspiring us. Of course, He gives us the koyach, but what's the whole idea of Elul? That we have to do the work. That's the idea of tshuva. We has to become who we are. It has to become our essence. And how do we do that? But some tobatena, we take the fruit, we learn Torah, we keep the mitzvahs, we put it in the basket, we hold it, we internalize it, we make sure that it becomes part of our identity. And that's the vort of the Baal Shem Tov in this parsha, connected, of course, to the month of Elul. Finally, just to share an idea that comes from the Ishbitzer. I was learning the Ishbitzer on Rosh Hashanah, And he says the following. He says, we know that the Torah tells us, the Gemara says that we have to say three things on Rosh Hashanah. Imru lefonai b'Rosh Hashanah malchios. Hashem says, say before me psukim and the blessings of kingship, of sovereignty. Zichroinus, the bracha of remembering, asking Hashem to remember us for the good. Shofaris, and the idea of the shofar, the power of the shofar. And when it says malchios, it says, why should you say malchios? That you should crown me upon you. Zichroinus, you should say zichroinus, that I should remember you for the good. And how do we do this? All through the blowing of the shofar. Says the Ishvitzer. He says that it seems like it's a very big difference between malchios and zichroinus. It seems like malchios is servitude, it's us surrendering to Hashem, oil malchus shamayim, that we have to really become subservient to Him. Where, of course, zichroinus is asking Hashem to do good for us, to make it good for us, to make it that it should be a good and sweet year. We should have what we need. We should have joy and sustenance and so on and so forth. But he says the important thing to understand, of course, is that no, crowning Hashem as a king is the chayrus amiti. It's the ultimate freedom from being subservient to the world. It's the ultimate source of blessing. The Gemara in Soita says, an interesting perspective, that a person who's arrogant, a person who has gasa saruach, Hashem says, ein ani v'hu yecholim ladur. I cannot coexist with him, says Hashem. Because a person who's arrogant doesn't let Hashem in. And therefore Hashem cannot dwell with that person. So what do? Not only because, of course, we have to serve Hashem and we accept Him as a king, but we give ourselves over to Hashem. We understand that everything comes from Hashem. We accept Him as our boss, as our owner, our father, our king. We give ourselves over. We surrender to Him completely. Once we surrender to Him, that becomes the source of all blessing. That's why we have this idea, like for bitochen, for example, if we trust in Hashem, we give ourselves over to Hashem, it creates the greatest freedom. We are in His hands. And if we're in His hands, ultimately, no bad comes from Him. Ultimately, everything that comes from Him is good. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we're not only, of course, we're rededicating, we're recommitting to Hashem in our relationship, but we're also asking for a good year. That in itself also needs the idea of malchus, it also needs the idea of kingship, because surrendering to Hashem is part of receiving Hashem's blessings. May Hashem give us all, of course, a ksiva v'chassima toiva. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.